2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Do this. Welcome, everybody, to the DFS Army Bold Calls season-long fantasy football podcast breakdown. My name is Kevin Allen, a.k.a. The Geek. I'm your host. I got my man, season-long Cez, here with me. What's up, Cez?
What's up, my brother? Lots going on to discuss. Fantasy football draft week is upon us here. Everyone is going nuts. Many home league drafts are this week, so I'm excited.
Hell yeah, and man, this was a pretty eventful weekend. So lots and lots of updates and changes to our season-long fantasy football rankings. And, I mean, let's just start with the big one. Because this is a game changer for so many spots and so many people this season. The biggest one is obviously the Andrew Luck retirement and the ramifications across not just Andrew Luck himself and a quarterback, but all of these side pieces that get moved around, Cheeto Mack, you got T.Y. Hilton, Paris Campbell, Devin Funchess, Eric Ebron. We already talked about Ebron. So what the luck is up with Luck, man? Break this down for me because everything's changing on a dime right now.
Yeah, this is a seismic shift in the fantasy football landscape. It's not often that happens. You know, we'll always get a Jordy Nelson as a first round pick, tears his ACL and out. And then those are terrible. But this, as you just alluded to, is literally, as I said, a seismic shift in the entire fantasy football landscape. It's not often that a quarterback in the peak, in the prime years of his career, who's an elite fantasy option, retires out of nowhere. I can't even think of a player that has done that outside of Barry Sanders. And, you know, that was the running back position. And this, I believe, I mean, we'll get into the details, but adversely affects some of all of the Colts pass catchers. But I've seen Marlon Mack also, the running back, drop drastically. And I don't agree with that. I think that's a bit of an overreaction, and we can talk about the reasons why. Yeah, this is like, take a deep breath. What are we going to do with everybody? Let's not overreact. Let's talk about the backup quarterback, which is now the starting quarterback, and the ramifications that's going to have this year and next as well.
I mean, so many things. So I am definitely one. I have a strong belief. I believe this for many years that we want running backs from teams that win a lot. Okay. And that's where the Cheeto Mack downgrade comes from, because if you look at the Vegas odds and win-loss totals for the Colts, they went from a reasonably decent Super Bowl expectee to pretty much bottom five team in the league in terms of their expected wins and losses. So what happens in that situation is a player like Marlon Mack, you know, he's not going to be on a team that's playing from ahead as much. And so they're not going to use his skill set, which is really yardage and touchdowns, nearly as much. So for me, yes. Being that Mack is not a pass-catching running back, he's very different from someone like a Le'Veon Bell or a Saquon Barkley, who's out there no matter what's going on in the game.
Where would you take him right now? He was going in the late third, early fourth.
I'm going to tell you where I dropped him in my rankings, and I don't like to talk about where a player is going because there's a lot of different formats out there right now. I'd rather talk about what area in the draft he's going and like who I'm now taking ahead of him. And so for me, I moved players like Sony Michel, Josh Jacobs, Kerryon Johnson. Let me sort this thing. But
you have Mac at RB20 right now.
Yes.
I have him at RB15.
Yes. So, I mean, a very big difference there between you and I. That's one of those. We have a lot of differences. But I have Sony Michel. I'd rather have Sony Michel than Mac.
It's good to be different.
Oh, yeah.
Being different is good.
DFS Army members can choose to follow who they want.
Or, you know what? That's the worst thing to do. The best thing, you know, is to listen to informed opinions and then make your own decision. This should be one piece of the puzzle, what they're getting from us. And also, you know, ultimately, we're just offering that. We're offering an opinion based on an analysis based on the facts on the ground. We don't know how it's going to play out, but I hear you. I think that dropping him that low is acceptable. But let me tell you why not. Let me make the quick case to you. The Colts offensive line is considered a top three offensive line in the NFL. That's not changed. Jacoby Brissett is not a stiff. He is more than capable. I think you would even call him before this happened probably the best backup. I mean, this is a contract year for him. He's going to get paid somewhere next year. Might be in Indianapolis. You don't know. But he had three years learning from Tom Brady in the Patriots system. Now this is year three for him in the Colts system. The second year with Frank Reich, which is we all considered a good system. You cannot judge what Jacoby Brissett did under Chuck Pagano. That's like judging what Jared Goff did.
I saw that line. I agree. I mean, listen, Pagano, terrible. No one's worse than Jeff Fisher, though. But
you saw the retweet that I made. Yeah. And I think that's completely accurate.
Can I make a counterpoint?
Well, let me finish it up by saying is that the offensive line, the running game should still be intact. So I don't think this is like you put bricks to his feet and throw him in the ocean and watch him sink here. I think you could knock him down a few notches, but you know, just be careful how far you do it.
Well, and that would be my counter argument is, listen, I didn't say don't draft Marlon Mack. He's shit this year. I'm just saying I favor running backs on teams that are going to win games. And I don't like the game script for a running back position, especially one like Mack, who, while they're saying they're throwing to him a little bit more, has not traditionally been a pass catching back. So when I have that style of running back, I don't want him on a losing team. It's like the same argument you might make why Derrick Henry isn't a higher ranked player. He might have a lot of talent, but he's on a team that's probably not going to win a lot. And so a guy like that, who's all yardage and touchdowns and not getting you a lot of PPR points, you know, he's not in the game when the team is playing from behind. They've got Nyheim Hines in there potentially. Now, I'm not sure that's going to happen. It could go a different way. It could be like Mack is a three-down guy this year. But, I mean, why not just take David Montgomery ahead of him, who looks like a similar guy on a winning team? Or why not take Chris Carson ahead of him or Sony Michel, similar.
I'm going to stop you there. Team. We are taking Chris Carson ahead of him. That's going to be part of our risers. I've moved him all the way up to like RB12.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, I just have to convince you on Sony Michel. But
I think they're similar players. I think that Marlon Mack and Sony Michel are in similar situations where they're both really good running backs that have an injury history. They're both on, they were both on good teams when you count the Andrew Luck thing. And then it's both of their coaches have said that they are going to make it a point of emphasis this year to get them passing down work. Yeah. Now, we haven't seen it yet with Mac. We haven't seen it yet with Sony. But if one of these guys gets 40-plus passes, we're good.
The only difference is, and that's why I have these guys, you know, in similar. The only difference is we know Michelle is on a winning team. We know Michelle's on a team that will win 11 games and that's going to be leading most of the time and happy to lean on the run, where right now it kind of looks like the Colts might be a team that's playing from behind a lot. Not saying for sure. Let's hit up some of the other affected areas.
Hold on, we have a comment on here. Oh, who's Mr. Hidden Stash says,
hey boy, what's up on there? Yeah, it's popping up there. Love this technology, guys. All right, so let's hit up some of these other situations that are affected by the luck. And then we have a couple other situations we really need to get to. So T.Y. Hilton, I think, is the worst of them all. We've never seen T.Y. Hilton really do well when Luck was on the shelf. He and Luck are like, you know, what Greg Jennings and Aaron Rodgers were for a long time. Like, they connect really well. So Brissett might have a skill set. I don't know if that means he's going to have accurate long passes. T.Y. Hilton drops massively for me, all the way down into from high-end WR1 to low-end WR3 territory. Are you on board with that drop?
How far did you drop them?
I dropped him all the way down. All right, let me sort my rankings, because I do like to do to show it in comparison to other players. I dropped him down to WR33. Wow. Right after Jarvis Landry in that Sammy Watkins, Cooper Kupp, Jarvis Landry range. I'm taking Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore ahead of him.
So you no longer have him as T.Y. Hilton. You have him as T.Y. Super 8.
Oh.
Quite a downgrade
eight from rounder, the yes.
Yeah, well,
I like that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, T.Y. Hilton, you can't expect the same production from him that you did with a healthy Andrew Luck, but I would not go as far as to say, again, what did he do with Jacoby Brissett that year? It was a really bad system. The system is better. I agree with dropping him down, but I'm not going to drop him as far. So I start doing the either or game like we always play, and I put him more at like wide receiver 19. I had him at wide receiver 14 before. And yeah, you really drop. I have him more in line with, I would take the guys I take ahead of him are the obvious ones are Godwin and Tyler Boyd. But when you start getting into the Allen Robinson and Calvin Ridley range, that's where I'm having to make a decision. I'd probably take T.Y. above both of those players I just named, above Calvin Ridley, above Allen Robinson, which puts him at wide receiver 19 for me.
Listen, I lived through and played DFS through many years of Luck's arm issues, his shoulder issues, his health issues.
Here we go. We got some more. Just listening. Got a draft in 2 hours. Pick and can't decide who I want. No. Mr. Hidden Stash, you gotta make that decision, baby.
You're choosing between Christian McCaffrey and you can't go wrong. McCaffrey or Kamara. All good.
Chris says pick Christian McCaffrey and. Then he said, AKA Maxi Pats. I don't know. Oh, you got some crazy
comments. Don't even worry about the comments. Let's push on.
Thank you for your comments, guys. Thank you for the comments.
Keep them coming. So here's the deal. I've lived through T.Y. Hilton without Andrew Luck, and his DFS salary on DraftKings had dropped down into that $4,400 range. So, like, my mindset with him is not elite player. He's inconsistent even with Andrew Luck on board, but he has those big games. But without Andrew Luck, this is going to be a guy who you will not be happy. You will not be happy with him on your team because he's going to get you fours and threes and sevens very, very frequently, even on a PPR team. So fuck that.
Well, let's start with this. Do you think Frank Reich is a good offensive coach?
I think he's a wonderful offensive coach.
Okay. So do you think Jacoby Brissett is a capable NFL starting quarterback?
No.
You don't. Do you think he's like the 20th? Do you think he's a better than Andy Dalton?
I think he's right now. You have to expect Andy Dalton / current state Matt Stafford level production / probably still better than what the Redskins have / probably still better than what Miami has. But nonetheless, I ain't taking no Redskins wide receiver pick 19 is what I'm saying. I'm not taking anybody from Miami.
You would take Tyler Boyd around, a little earlier than that. And
Tyler Boyd at 25. I have him lower than you.
Yeah. Tyler Boyd is going to walk into 80 catches and, 1,000 yards. So just that one, I would disagree with you on. But, why we talk these things out. But I would argue that Brissett is at least what Andy Dalton is. And T.Y. Hilton will be the number one option. He's a good long ball receiver. Again, we agree he should drop. By how much is really the question. We'll take these comments as they come as well as we move along. Mr. Hidden Stash again. Wow, we got what's the deal in Houston now? Duke Johnson going to be health. So we'll get to that.
That's actually a really good one to get to. But I want to finish with the effects of Andrew Luck and I think the last serious player because we get to Devin Funchess, whatever, right?
Well, not whatever.
But I mean, he's dropping, right? At this point, I don't think that offense is going to support multiple pass catchers. And that brings us around to a more important player to really be aware of. And that's Eric Ebron. Okay. Ebron, who has an ADP, anywhere from TE6 to TE9, depending on where you look, or TE10. He's a TE1 for all intents and purposes. People are drafting him, wherever they are, you could tell me. But that motherfucker drops for me too. I'm sorry.
Or, you know, people were dropping him because they, you know, they say it's certain regression. He had 14 plus touchdowns last year. Here's the thing. We just don't know which pass catcher Brissett is going to lock into. It could be Ebron. I wouldn't, you know, if they get down to the, you know, if they get close to the red zone, Ebron is going to be an efficient touchdown catcher. I think he doesn't really move that much. What were you really expecting from him?
Well, hold up, because you and I had him lower than the field.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying.
The other issue. Like, the field had this guy up in TE6 level, right? We had him TE9. So, you know, right above Austin Hooper and, you know, in that area. But yeah, I got to drop him from here because he's not the full-time guy. He's not out there.
Yeah, I'd move Hooper. We got to move. We'll move Hooper above him. But that's it. I mean, would you take Njoku or?
You know, I have to look at Njoku. I have to look at even a Trey Burton there.
A lot of mouths to feed in.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Greg Olsen. I think Greg Olsen could be okay. But, you know, obviously that depends on a lot of people's health.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. So Ebron, we were lower, so we're not really going to move him that more than a spot down. If you had ranked him in your top six or seven, obviously he drops clearly out of the elite tier. But we didn't have him there anyway.
Yeah, you don't want to be relying. What I'm saying is you don't want to be relying on Eric Ebron this year as like a premium. I absolutely like Vance McDonald a lot more than him now, like a serious tier better. All right, let's get to this other question because the next. So we've covered a lot of the Andrew Luck. Actually, I'll go to one last thing. Jacoby Brissett in a 2QB league. Is he startable for you in a 2QB Superflex league? Like, are you happy to start him?
Am I happy to start Jacoby Brissett? Absolutely. I mean, I'd probably put him around like just off the top of my head, QB 24, QB 22. With upside for more and a 2QB league, that's gold. I mean, you know, right around the Derek Carr, probably ahead of Nick Foles still. It's just in a 1QB league, you know, if you already drafted and you have Andrew Luck, obviously this is a go, you know, you could go get him. There might be some other options out there because even in 1QB leagues, most teams, most home league, Yahoo leagues, sleeper leagues, they don't just take roster 1QB. They on average roster 1.9 QBs. Was that your dinging over there?
Yeah.
It's all right. So I want to
emphasize what you're saying here, just to be clear, because I was just ripping on Brissett as not a very good quarterback and, you know, how
Chris comments that Jacoby was nasty in New England for a couple games.
Yes, he was.
I think so. Yeah, he was. He was
my thing with Brissett is it's not that he's not a good fantasy quarterback. He could be fine because he runs a little bit, but I don't think he's going to do with his arm anywhere near what Luck was going to do. So that's really the difference because I, you know, it sounds weird for me to just shit on the pass catchers and then say, but you know, the quarterback's fine to draft. So that's what I wanted to emphasize the point. Well, Jacoby does a little bit with his legs too. So I think he'll be okay as a fantasy scorer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you put him right in there, the Andy Dalton, you know, QB 20. I mean, all from QB like 8 all the way or QB 9 all the way to QB like 14 or 16. They're not being separated by a whole lot. So in 2QB leagues, he's super relevant. And in your one quarterback league, you know, if he falls to you at the right spot, if you want him, if you like the roster backup, I still like the Colts offense. I like the system. So I think he should be all right.
All right. And to throw this out there for my DFS people, week one, Jacoby Brissett for min salary on FanDuel or DraftKings. What are we doing? Gotta wait. This ain't a DFS breakdown. All right. Let's move on. A couple other situations I want to talk about. Lamar Miller, done for the season. Duke Johnson, waiting in the wings. Does he have what it takes to be the starter for Houston? Is he better of a player than Lamar Miller ever was? And can he actually be the first guy since Arian Foster to produce quality fantasy scores for the running back position for the Houston Texans? Go.
Yeah, just really quickly, Jibby Walker, one of the made a comment. He says, "Is he week one chalk for daily fantasy?" You already told him that they're going to have to wait to see what goes there. So you want to know the fallout from Lamar Miller? Lamar Miller was the player that you and I and many other people were not high on. He was a compiler. At the end of the season, stats were always didn't tell the story of that he was not as useful during the year. And Duke Johnson was traded there for a third round pick. We love some Duke Johnson. He was miscast as a pass catching back only in Cleveland. When he was in University of Miami, he was a three down back, very capable pass catcher. He's a stout, strong running back, and he is going to not carry the whole load, but he is going to have a significant role to the point where in a 12 team league, regular league with PPR league, I'm taking him at the end of the sixth round. Probably I have him around, I can look quickly, but I have him around RB24, RB25 as a low end two. I'm really excited about Duke Johnson. I think that we have to just be aware that when final cuts come this week or the week after, that a couple of the running backs that get released, I think one or two of them are going to end up in Houston, mainly Kenneth Dixon, TJ Yeldon, if McCoy gets released. So I think that Houston will definitely add, certainly not going to do the Melvin Gordon trade. I've heard that one being rumbled around, mostly because it just doesn't make sense for them to do it. Melvin Gordon salary demands will be too high for any team. You know, it's very different than the Zeke Elliott situation. So,
there's a lack of talent with Melvin Gordon. Well, I think he's a problem. But he's not Zeke.
Yeah, well, exactly. Zeke, you know, the running backs at the margins matter, and somewhere in the middle, like, you know, unfortunately the salary structure doesn't fit what helpful to them. So back on point here, Duke Johnson is certainly a buy in the sixth round of most fantasy drafts. I'm really excited about him. I think he's going to have some good weekly value. I got him in the ninth round before the news broke not too long ago, and people were thinking that was a reach. And again, that goes to my strategy I've been preaching in the DFS Army chat rooms, is take that one anchor running back, load up on pass catchers, and kind of figure out the second running back. Second running back, look, I have Latavius Murray in that league. I have Duke Johnson. And now I just ran into an RB2 for myself.
I do not agree with that approach to season long, which is a beautiful thing, which is why you and I draft together. We're bringing a couple of different point of views. I'm a big, hey, let me settle in my running back position earlier, and I'll figure out the other shit little bit later. Oh, Jimmy. So to answer your question about the chalk on the quarterback position, if you look at the salaries of the quarterbacks, and again, we want to focus on season long here. It wasn't about keeping information secret. If you look at the salaries of the quarterback position, it's just not that much cheaper to get a min salary quarterback than it is somebody else. So remember, we have to evaluate them differently than other positions, where like a Duke Johnson, if he's the three down starter for Houston week one, for example, and they didn't bring someone else in, then ooh, you love him for that min salary or that $3,500 or whatever he's sitting at on DraftKings right now. But quarterbacks are cheap anyway. That's kind of the difference. So I'm not ready to really look at that situation and make a call.
And also, you're just answering a question from before, and we had one more. Chris said, DFS Army bought my truck. Wow.
What it did, endorsement. Yeah. Maxi and a swag bag for Chris at one point. I remember sending one out. So, all right, let's continue to move on through the changes, because there's a couple other big deals. So that's the Lamar Miller injury. I want to talk about the situation at running back for the Chiefs, because this is a big deal. This is the most explosive offense in the league. And, you know, my boy Damian Williams, man, he's on the downswing. And instead of Carlos Hyde on the upswing, as we all thought, apparently a gentleman by the name of Darwin Thompson has overtaken Carlos Hyde potentially for that number two pick. So says, explain to me what the fuck is going on. Why don't they like Carlos Hyde? Who is this Darwin Thompson character? And why is he one of the best late sneaky draft picks that you could put on your team, sit with that, you know, 14th, 15th, 13th round pick, and he could be a league winner for you if things break the right way?
So Damian Williams is we've talked about in other podcasts that when a veteran running back that's been around for, you know, 4 or 5 years comes out of nowhere and has this amazing stretch run and wins leagues for people, the next year he's a second round pick, we usually fade that. And we've talked about that a few times, mostly because it's not very profitable when you look at it as a whole. It does work
out. The Thomas Rawls effect.
Thomas Rawls, Justin Forsett. We've seen it time and time again where running backs that have been around for years and have great five-game runs just don't do it the next year. So we don't like paying a second-round pick for Damian Williams. That said, so there's no real job security there. I mean, you know, he's going to get the first shot, but he may not last long. Now, they brought in Carlos Hyde just in case in the beginning of the year. They wanted a veteran presence there. But Carlos Hyde, frankly, is a 28-year-old veteran running back, and he hasn't had a great camp. I think he even had a fumble in the preseason the other day. And what happened is they drafted Darwin Thompson in the sixth round. And when you draft a running back in the sixth round, you don't really know what to expect. But he has only had positive vibes going his way and had an amazing camp. And they are surprised about what do coaches look for in rookie running backs? Can they pass block? And that's an area of strength for him. So that's going to get him on the field. Now, should anything happen to Damian Williams, there's not only injury risk, there's job security risk as well. Darwin Thompson could be any running back in the Chiefs system is going to be potentially a top 10, top 12 running back. I don't even think you can get him at the end of drafts anymore. I see him going in like the ninth, 10th round. And these are not like sharp, like professional drafts. These are home league drafts. I think the word is out. He just went number 5 overall in our rookie dynasty league.
That was terrible pick.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that you're smart to tell the listeners to go get him. I just think that the price is probably a 10th round pick. If you're drafting Damian Williams, I think he's a must cuff, and we usually don't like handcuffs, but Darwin Williams is the real deal, man. We've talked about it before that this 2020 class coming next year looks super deep and really good at the top. And we both think that both Houston and Kansas City are probably sneaky candidates to draft one of these 2020 running backs. So in redraft, no problem. Take Darwin Thompson all day. He's probably going to pay off at some point this year, but in dynasty, to take him in the first round of your rookie draft is probably riskier than I would condone.
I would absolutely caution. That same thing. I would absolutely caution against getting too crazy. Some of these sleepers, people get too excited about them, and all of a sudden, you know, they're drafting Darwin Thompson, you know, early in a rookie draft or taking him in the eighth round or ninth round when there are players that are more legitimate on board who are actually going to get playing time. So let's not go crazy.
I saw something funny on Twitter, and when Darwin Thompson won the job, they said, "Has Darwin evolved?"
Yeah, I was trying to figure out some sort of evolution commentary with Darwin, but
Darwin really evolved. He evolved into the job.
I like T.Y. LaQuinta.
I mean, I've stayed in some really bad Super 8. So it's T.Y. Motel 6.
Yeah, there we go. Well, come on, we got a Motel 7. LaQuinta. It's nice, you know.
Well, you said you RB WR30 is not very nice.
Hey, that's still a starter on your team. All right, let's talk about another situation that's very, very important, and that is the Zeke Elliott situation. Now, I have a rant, so I'm going to rant right now, and this is why you guys tune in, because here's the deal. This fucking guy holding out, he's got 2 years left on his contract, right? He's got 2 years left. They don't have to do shit, okay? Jerry Jones calls him up and says, "Listen, we love you. You're my dude. You're my guy. I want to build my team around you. So here's the deal. We're going to make you the second highest paid running back in the NFL. Okay? We're going to reward you even though we don't have to, because we own you for 2 more years, motherfucker." And Zeke says, "No, that's not good enough." Right? So now what the fuck? Okay, if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm going to tell you exactly what I would tell Zeke. "Okay, now, motherfucker, you done fucked up. All right? I gave you the offer, and you tell me no? 2 years? 2 years before your contract is up, you told me no? Now you're going to fucking rot. You're not getting shit. As a matter of fact, I'm pulling the offer. You don't get any second place money. None of that. Now you're going to play out this contract, or you know what? You're going to languish on this bench forever, and I'm going to franchise tag your ass 3 times in a row so that the next time that you come up, I'm going to keep your eligibility so that you're 35. You don't make another fucking dime in this league." That's what I would do if I was Jerry Jones. At some point, and I'm not a Cowboys fan, I don't give a fuck, but at some point when you win the argument, you're holding out, the owner says, all right, you know what? We love you. We're going to give you this money. Now you say, no, it's not good enough. I want to be paid even more. Fuck you then. You know what? I don't need you, motherfucker. And for that reason, I am now legitimately concerned, because if it were me, I only know what I would do. I don't know what Jerry Jones is going to do. You know what fucking Jerry Jones is going to do? I have no idea, but I know what I would do. And once I made that offer and I said, hey, we're going to pay you. I know it's 2 years left on your contract. No. And you tell me no, we're done. We're done. Now you're going to sit on that fucking bench. You're going to hold out, go back to Cabo, because you ain't going to play this year. And guess what? You ain't going to get paid. And I'm going to franchise your ass every fucking chance I can so that I'm sure that you never get paid. That's what I would do. Rant off. For that reason, what are we doing with Tony Pollard and the backup plan for Zeke? Because if Jerry Jones is anything like the geek, Zeke is sitting out for a very long time.
Well, now, are you all ready for the sane opinion?
You probably want that, because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's that is spoken like a fan. I mean, that was wild, man. That was wild. Now, I'm
not a fan. I don't give a shit. I'm not a Cowboys fan. I don't give a fuck.
So,
love the game of football.
Here's the counter. Zeke's leverage will never be higher than it is right now, and him and his agent recognize that. This is the peak of his leverage. He has 2 years left on his contract. He's in the peak of his powers. The Cowboys need him to win a Super Bowl. Jerry Jones is getting a little bit older. Who knows how much longer he'll be alive? He wants to win a Super Bowl. Anyone that follows football knows that Jerry Jones, the most important, he has all these other companies, just like in the movie Dallas North 40. The billionaire oil guy's got all these companies, but the most important one to him is his football team. And Zeke knows it. And he thinks that he is the most valuable piece of that team. They're playing a game of chicken, and they want to see who blinks. And they're both professionals. Jerry Jones and Zeke like each other. They're just in a negotiation. So to say that, hey, you didn't do this for me, so screw you for the rest of your career. I mean, I know it's funny to hear you rant like that. I enjoyed it. I know the listeners did too. They're staying tuned. But at the same time, what they need to do is figure out what is going to make it work for both sides. Now, we've talked about on a podcast before that the running backs need their own union, because the rules right now do not favor running backs. They are in the peak of their earning power in the portion of their career, which is least when they're able to earn. Running backs are probably most valuable in year one through year four. And they get less valuable as time goes on, whereas wide receivers and quarterbacks probably take a year or two to develop. And then by the time that second contract hits, they're in their peak. So the system is set up incorrectly. So what to do? They're going to have to find a compromise. I still believe Zeke will be back because of his importance to the Cowboys. I don't see him missing any games, but it is possible. Tony Pollard certainly should be drafted. If you're going to draft Zeke, I would still take Zeke at 4. And if he signs, obviously, I would take him at 2. But if you don't like risk in the first round of your fantasy drafts, he'll probably fall.
We're going to get a million questions about Zeke.
Here we go. Here's the first one. Gordon just not eligible to play in week one. Mr. Hidden Stash.
Oh, Josh Gordon. That's Josh Gordon.
Okay.
Talking about Josh Gordon.
We saw that. Josh Gordon. Good. Yeah, he was not suspended. They actually sentenced him to time served. So they decided not to suspend him, and he'll have 2 weeks to play. That's good. And then Mr. Hinsett says, fuck them both.
So, I mean, but coming back to the Zeke question, there's going to be a lot of questions right now going forward. Like, and we see it all the time. We're seeing, and you guys are asking, and we wish we had a better answer, right? The question is, should I draft Zeke? Where should I draft Zeke? Risk tolerance, guys.
You just took him at 4
I took him at 4. Now, in fairness to me, that was when I had heard Dallas had made the offer and there was no rejection of that offer. But nonetheless, it's about risk tolerance now. So that's why I was extra pissed in that rant, by the way.
I'm doing a $350 entry keeper draft coming up where you keep 4 guys. It's on Thursday. And I pick 3rd. Zeke will be available. It's either Zeke or Julio Jones at that spot. I have to make a decision. If you had to make a decision today, what would you do?
Man, I like Zeke so much more than Julio Jones if he plays. And that's the issue. So I'm still taking Zeke probably.
Yeah, me too.
But again, it's about your risk tolerance. So I want to just stress this to you guys because we don't have the answer. Cez doesn't know. I mean, Cez somehow knew Luck was going to retire before. I don't know how the fuck he knew that. But I don't know how the fuck he knew days before not to draft Luck. That was amazing. But when it comes to Zeke, we don't know. This is a contract negotiation. We don't have special information. No one knows. So you have to play your risk tolerance. So normally what I do is I'm not going to take the guy second overall, even though I consider him the second best running back this season for fantasy purposes, because it's like, you know, like I really like Christian McCaffrey and Kamara almost just as much. So fuck it, I'll take those guys. But when those two come off the table and you're making a decision between, all right, do I want to now talk about Le'Veon Bell, Nick Chubb, or David Johnson, or who are for me clear next tier down guys? So you have the four players that are all the tier one. You have these, I'm going to say those three guys are tier two, right? Three elite level players, tier two. Do I want to go from tier one to tier two? Or, you know, that's where you take the chance. And you might say, you know what, fuck it. I can't, I took Le'Veon Bell last year and it fucking sucked and it ruined my whole year. Screw that. I'm taking Le'Veon Bell. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Or you might say, I want a tier one guy. I don't give a shit. I'm willing to roll the dice. That's the, we don't have the answer. You have to make that decision. What's your tolerance? Because some people got stuck with Le'Veon Bell last year. And
but you know what's funny? You know what's funny is that, like, when Le'Veon Bell was holding out last year, everybody's like, these guys never hold out. I'm taking them two overall. And now that he actually did it, everyone's gone the complete other way. They're like, oh shit, Le'Veon Bell did it. Isn't it funny how, like, up until last year, we literally paid no attention to holdouts?
But absolutely. And no, we've been nervous about it, but it so often happened that they didn't hold out that it was like, ah, this never happens. Right. Here's the difference between Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell pulled that training camp shit like 4 years in a row before he finally actually held out. So that was the issue.
Him. The Steelers mistreated him.
Yeah, they did the same thing. They're like, fuck you. We're going to keep you. We're going to keep you past your prime a couple of years. We're going to franchise tag you multiple times. And then when you're 29, we're going to fucking send you off to the races and we're going to send you to purgatory of the NFL, a.k.a. the Jets.
All right. I think we covered Zeke.
There we go. Any other big movers and shakers before we shut this one down? And do we want to talk about what we have to expect coming up, DFS Army coverage during the fantasy football season, in season, which is something I'd like you to talk about, actually, because we've got a lot of subs watching the show right now. What could we expect in season for season-long fantasy football from Season Long Says, the sharpest season-long mind that I know?
What can we expect? I am going to be doing a waiver wire podcast during Monday Night Football. So that'll be streamed live. And what it will be is it will go up on the podcast stream the next day. And it will be not only my rankings for the waiver wire for that week for your home league. It'll be, if you're in a league where you bid money, if you have a fab budget, it'll be my recommended bids. Now, everything's going to be league dependent. So, but you can count on Monday nights, Tuesday mornings, a live stream of our waiver wire podcast with recommended bid amounts. I'll be joined with various different guests. It should be a 10 to 12 minute pod, quick rank, and our recommended $0 bids, meaning guys that could be good in a week or two if you can hold them.
Now, let's say we're in some leagues together. I feel like that gives me an advantage knowing who you want to take.
At some point, you have to pick. Are you going to be a fantasy analyst or a fantasy player? Talking about fantasy football and analyzing it is always been more important to me than playing it. I love playing it, but if it gives me a slight disadvantage, I'm going to have to work that much harder.
Give me an advantage. I'm just happy. That's why I brought you in here, man. I need that inside info.
You got
for
it.
Our leagues. Now, also in season, there'll be lots of discussion of who to sit, who to start, all of that good stuff going on in the Slack channels and DFS Army for VIPs. So that's going to be really exciting. And Says will be on top of that as well. Really awesome. I'm excited about that. Any other late movers or shakers, or are we pretty much covered here as far as this update? Being that it's August 25th and we're pretty much through week three, the critical week of preseason games.
Yeah, I mean, since we last potted Josh Gordon, spoke about it a minute ago, I put him at wide receiver 29. Just understand that if you draft Josh Gordon, literally the floor is he's not on a roster in 3 weeks. And the ceiling is no longer Josh Gordon 2013. The ceiling is probably your rock solid wide receiver two, wide receiver three, someone you could put in your lineup. So we're, you know, I recommended to people that it's okay to take him in the seventh round. I have no problem with it. There's certainly, you know, he's a big play receiver. I think that the Patriots are invested in getting him the football. So that would be the other biggest mover in the last couple of weeks. Seems like 100 years ago, doesn't it?
I mean, I don't even know what to make of Josh Gordon. What happened last year, the mental breakdown, I'm not even sure it was a substance abuse issue that cropped back up, but you absolutely have to be scared that this guy will regress. So the greatest thing about his situation is the Patriots don't have a lot of pass catchers. Julian Edelman, super brittle, can go down at any moment. And there's just not much else going on, no tight end on the team. So he's definitely going to get work while he's out there. And I really like Josh Gordon overall as a player for as long as he's out on the field. He's got talent, but more so he's got opportunity. And opportunity trumps talent on the Patriots even, yeah, I mean, I think.
We you know, and it moved Tom Brady up a little bit for me too. I moved him up a couple spots because if he actually has some real reliable targets, the rookie Jacoby Myers looks decent in, you know, but we've seen Patriot rookies before look good in preseason and then fizzle out quickly. Kembrell Tompkins and the rest of them.
Lots of names like so, that on the scrap heap of yeah, Patriots final thoughts, players.
For a final thought, I would certainly just look for my waiver wire podcast. You know, that should be really helpful when trying to determine who your pickups are. But again, because, you know, everyone's waiver wire list is going to look the same. There's going to be the same five guys, the guy that scored 80 yards and a touchdown or had five catches for 100 yards. But what I think my waiver wire podcast, the DFS Army waiver wire podcast, is going to provide is at the bottom of the sheet are the guys that you should pick up now that'll be expensive in a week or two that you can get for free this week.
Yeah, and I'll throw out one final thought here because it's a question that comes up a lot, and I really think the question itself is indicative of a wrong approach to fantasy drafting. I constantly get the question, you know, what should I do round one? WRWR? Should I go RBWR? Like, looking for this very, very set strategy of which positions to take in what rounds and when and how to attack them. And I can't stress enough that I would never approach a draft that way. Outside of maybe a best ball draft where I might say, fuck it, I'm taking running backs, you know, the first couple of picks. But in general, I would never approach a draft that way. What you want to do is look for who's dropping to you, who's a value. I don't care if it's a running back. I don't care if it's not a quarterback. You don't take quarterbacks early in redraft leagues or in one QB leagues, but I don't care if it's a tight end. I don't care if it's a running back. I don't care if it's a wide receiver. I'm looking for the best player to drop to me.
What drafts are looking like this year is if you draft at the top half of the draft, you're probably going to have an RB heavy strategy. And if you're drafting near the back end of the draft, you're likely going to have a wide receiver heavy strategy.
Wide receiver slash tight end some of these.
Right, a pass catcher heavy strategies. In the middle, you're going to have probably more of a balanced approach. Two running backs, I know we said final thoughts three times, but two running backs I want to ask you about super quick. Where are you drafting Darius Geis?
Geis for me is around RB30. I believe he is a prospect with upside, but he's on a shit team, and I want Miles Sanders ahead of Darius Geis.
Yeah, Darius Geis looks so good again the other preseason. They just
good player, but his team will not win games. They're one of the worst teams in the league.
Yep.
And he's not locked in as a starting player. So, I love Darius Geis. You want him on your team. I have him on our team in your league. I have him on my team. Yeah, so all good. I got him very late. Miles Sanders was available at that time. I took him over Sanders, and then I felt some regrets afterwards. And that was the only thing where I said, you know what? I think I would take Sanders here. Not because I think Sanders has more opportunity or is a better player or anything of those sorts, just because Sanders is on a better team. That's about it. So guys, last notes, if you're watching this and you're somehow not a DFS Army VIP subscriber, do it, get in there now, use promo code kickoff. Go to dfsarmy.com, use promo code kickoff. You'll get 20% off your VIP membership. These streams go live on our regular YouTube channel. So, you know, anybody can be watching here. This is not subscribers only. But for subscribers, you will get the best in-season NFL season-long content alongside our crushing DFS content. You know, NFL, we've got it all set up for you guys. So,
and
all good
also
stuff.
Tweet at the geek and let him know what he should put in that office to make it look less creepy.
I need a background screen. Yeah. This is you my need, first, you know,
you something, man.
You know, for years I've been only voice only with these things. I have not been a,
well, you're a good-looking
turn on
man.
The camera.
You're a good-looking man, man. We want to see your face.
I don't need people showing up at my house knowing who I am.
Well, look, based on that, I mean, it looks like you're living in some sort of like creepy trailer or something, you know?
Well,
I mean,
this is a double wide, so I live I live pretty large in a van.
Yeah.
So I'm down by the river.
So if you want to tweet at me, I am at Alan Seslowski on Twitter. There it is. That's my
change name. That shit. I can't even spell it. I know you for 20 years.
Yep. There you go. You can you tweet at me or get me in the DFS Army chat room, the season-long fantasy football chat. I'll be posting my game day notes on the season-long fantasy notes page. I appreciate it. We've met some really great people so far in the DFS Army chat room, some really great characters. And I'm taking a list of names currently. If you're interested in being in our Dynasty League, which we will start next offseason, let me know. We're looking for year-round Dynasty players. So send me a tweet. Send me you're in. Yeah, you're in. We're looking for 10 players. I've already taken a couple names, and we're looking just for out of control.
We should have a contest for people to gain eligibility to something.
Yeah, we're gonna vet people. You're gonna have to like really be committed to this Dynasty League. It's gonna be pretty sick.
Do these guys have to be like super involved in the Slack channel for season long fantasy football? Because you can't just like have anybody. They got to be real showing some knowledge.
We're going to send a questionnaire out. They're going to have to fill it out. We want to see their level of commitment. And plus, it's not going to be a cheap league. It's going to at least be $150 league to get in with a 2-year commitment every year. So,
all right, let's wrap it up. Good stuff. We will see you guys back in DFS Army Slack. Good luck on your drafts. Questions, hit us up Twitter, hit us up in our forums, wherever you want. We're here to help.
Peace.